Skype. Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. I hope the sound quality for everybody is fine on this one, because for once, feeling ill, we're Skyping it up. We're going to be doing something special for the next show, but in the meantime, we're going to talk some wrestling. Well, we're not ready to do that yet. We're not. Maybe in a couple minutes. We're gonna sit here. I'm Mo. Did I mention that? And yeah, we're gonna talk some wrestling. So what the hell are we talking about? This is as off the cuff as probably the first episode was the only episode more off the cuff than this one.
Yes. First, what I have on the docket: No Way Out and Raw.
That's good radio.
Suck the cock.
No Way Out and Raw sucked a cock.
A big cock.
Well, I don't think I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go quite that far. I see some positives coming out of No Way Out.
Medium sized cock.
What? That cock on the mind today. Is that something you care to tell me?
I'm just staring at mine. You're not here, so I'm not wearing pants.
Well, I'm not wearing pants when I am there.
That's true.
But anyways, yeah, so one of the positives, okay, you take something like Layla.
That's where we got Dixie Carter's nickname.
Positives?
No, with you not wearing any pants.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Cunt.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Now they get that Dixie Carter, she hired King Mo. And apparently they're going to bring in another very famous MMA fighter. Apparently they're bringing in Cunt Lee.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I do know this last, this past week on Impact, which we're going to get to, they had their very first Cunt Check Challenge.
All right. I'm not going down this path with you. I am too classy.
Yeah, sure you are.
All right. So what the fuck were we talking about?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, okay. No Way Out.
You were talking about how great No Way Out and Raw were.
Well, I wasn't talking. They're not great, but I'm just going to give you a few positives. For instance, Layla's not really working as the champion, and that's obvious.
That's the positive.
But here's the thing. In the past, when somebody isn't working as a champion like that, they would have just simply pulled the belt off them and gone in another direction.
So, I'd like to pull my belt off.
And I thought you weren't wearing pants.
Well, just when Layla's around.
Oh, okay. You're just not wearing pants. Is Layla there? Put her on.
Where?
Put her on. I want to talk to her.
Hello.
Hi, Layla. Are you fucking Addy?
Of course.
That is a hell of a Layla impression.
Impression?
What a clusterfuck of a show this already is. So let's keep going. In the past, when they had something that wasn't working right away, instead of trying to fix it or work with it, they would just go in a different direction. You know, whereas right now what they're doing is with Layla, and I kind of like this, they're keeping the belts on everybody for a long term. Everybody looks like they're having a long-term title reign. Sheamus, they're keeping it on him for a while. CM Punk, they're keeping it on him for a while. Even Layla, they're keeping on her for a while. Now, it may fail, but I think one of the ways that they can go back to giving some value to the belts is giving everybody a long reign, and that's something they really need right now, and that's something I'm seeing. So I consider that a positive.
Would you like to also see Black Reign?
Back in TNA. Hey, yeah.
Yes.
Hey, yo.
Cocaine and such. Hey, yo, yeah. Speaking of hey, yo. Black Reign. Very tied together. Cocaine's a big common thread there.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're going with that.
Look,
so you actually going to say anything about my fucking comment, or?
What? I wasn't listening. I was reading my notes. I'm sure what you said was complete crap. No, I think, I agree that the thing is with some of the instances, I'm good with the long reigns. I mean, do I give a fuck about the Divas title really though? And whether it's Beth or whether it's Layla or it's, you know, Karma or whoever, right? I mean, the thing is Layla's as good a choice as any right now, because who else do you have? I mean, if you ultimately want to get it to Beth, I guess, just fucking get it to Beth. I don't care if Layla's been the champion for 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 months, 2 years. Just do it. But for the other titles I actually care about, the WWF title, the world title, you know, even the US/Intercontinental title. I mean, you're right. They've been on people that haven't hot potatoed them. Are they
TNA
on the right
same
people?
TNA, you're seeing the same thing also with their world title and their X Division title, whereas, you know, they were on the same guy for a long time. Now, the X Division title's going off one guy for a while, but it's the same thing. Even there, you're seeing the same thing. It's a good trend in wrestling.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't remember the last time I saw a Divas or a Knockouts tag team title change, so that's good.
What do you mean you don't remember the last time you watched a Divas title change? You watched Layla win the title just a few weeks ago
Knockouts tag
team title. Well, they're not really defending that. That's a belt they referenced it in the last thing, but it's not exactly being defended. But it's true. It's true. They're keeping that Knockouts title on Eric Young for a long, long time, giving it some prestige.
You know who could win the – we talked about karma in terms of – you know, coming out and
she's coming and how, out.
Well, you know, did she coming back and
oh,
how,
she's coming did, back.
Is it different body
else
type?
You wanted to tell me.
I come on her back, but different body types and things. What? But what a lot of people don't know about karma is that just as Michael Jackson did, she had that disease that turns her white. Because Karma was out with Cyndi Lauper on Monday.
Karma's not that old. Yes. Yes. Cyndi Lauper has held up much better physically than Wendy Richter. Actually, I think she's held up much better physically than pretty much everybody from that rock and wrestling era. So
she's held up better than Heath Slater.
That's true, too. Now, mm-hmm. Heath Slater, a lot of people were saying he had a go-away heat with him during that segment. He entertained the shit out of me, personally.
I had some hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was very charismatic and very funny doing his little thing. But, I mean, it's not, you know, not going to lead anything, but whatever.
Oh, no, I'm very glad they did that in public. They were going to do that as a backstage segment, but they decided to do it in front of the ring because they were afraid Heath would rape Cyndi.
There's always that possibility. Would he have raped Wendy?
The one-man rape gang. I don't think so.
No?
No. No, it's I was waiting for someone to put a bust of coconut over Wendy Richter's head, actually, but that didn't happen.
Somebody's busted a nut over Wendy Richter's head before, I'm sure.
I think so. Grizzly Smith.
There you go.
Yeah, there you are. Paul Heyman was good on Raw.
Paul Heyman was fantastic, yeah. Paul Heyman,
you know,
was fantastic.
That's all that I can really... The pay-per-view bored the shit out of me outside of the tag match, the four-man tag.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit, because that four-man tag match, it was a Gabriel and Kid, the Usos, Primo and Epico, and the Primetime Players.
Right.
Now, in the Attitude Era, that type of match where they come out and they steal the show a little bit, or even in WCW, because a lot of people were watching the pay-per-views, it would create a buzz. People would talk about it, and it would actually mean something. There was a chance you would see. That's how did Edge and Christian and the Hardy start getting over? Well, it starts with that ladder match where they steal the show, right?
And, the tit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Terry Invitational Tournament.
Yes.
But it starts with that, right? Where they steal the show. And then it goes from there where same thing in WCW. We start with Malenko and Rey Mysterio stealing the show. And then they start to get reaction. Because people were actually caring about those things. And people were watching those things. And people were talking about them. Now, a match like this in the past would have actually created some buzz for those guys. Or been a step in the right direction. If they did a few shows in a row, they might be getting somewhere. There's not that sense anymore. That's one of the things that's changed. That's one of the things that sucks.
It's like Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly match, the hybrid rules match on the iPay-per-view, right? Nobody saw it. So, you know, it said if a tree falls, you know, it's a tremendous match, you know, with a star-making comeback in a spot where, you know, Adam Cole's teeth get knocked out, literally knocked out, and on the mat where the cameras are picking it up on the mat with him with his teeth lying on the mat and him all busted open. But, you know, 800 people saw it.
Well, yeah, but at least the people who are ROH fans will find out and will care that it was there and be like, oh, I want to see that. Whereas nobody's sitting there going, I want to see that tag match. And that's, that's the problem.
But ultimately, more people will see that tag match.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. More people will, but it won't matter.
No. And as I said, in neither case, it won't matter. So, I mean, I enjoyed that. I'm enjoying, really, and I noticed this more when I watched SmackDown. We're jumping around a little bit, but it's along the same lines here, is when we talked about AW and the primetime players, right? He turned on Primo and Epico, and you know, they did it. Something that we have to give them credit for, because, you know, we give them enough shit when they don't do this, and we presumed, given their track record, that they weren't going to do this. But we were talking about, you know, where the fuck did they go?
Yeah.
Right? Where was this? Well, they did actually explain that, to say that AW allowed Primo and Epico, apparently if you don't use your tag team title rematch clause within 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is, 30 days,
I think it was 30 days, they said, yeah.
Then it expires.
Yeah.
And so AW was purposely keeping them off to turn them heel and fuck them over. I mean, that wasn't the plan
going face.
In, but that's... Well, no, but when he turned heel on them
and
fucked them over, that's part of him fucking it over. Now, that wasn't pre-planned.
They took something that existed and actually used it.
And they explained it, exactly, which is something they rarely do, right?
Well, exactly.
So you got to give them credit for that.
Exactly. So they did one thing right. They took something and explained one thing right. And meanwhile, Laurinaitis booked himself in a match against the guy he was going to fire the next night. In something that doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, they make more mistakes than they do things. There's no doubt they do make more mistakes than they do things right. And that's,
But I went looking at it. I mean, when you've got this Primo and Epico against the primetime players, you know, now you've got that. That's a feud.
Yeah.
AW fucked them over. That's a feud, right?
Well, it is a feud, but it isn't. I mean, they had the match the next night unannounced, right? Then they did walk out on them.
Yeah, that feud must continue.
Well, yeah, and then they had a match against the Usos. The Usos, to me, were the standout team, actually, in that four-way. I think everybody looked good, but I thought they were the best team in that. I think they're just their entrance. I think they have a lot of charisma and a lot of really crisp offense. So I thought that they looked really good.
And I thought they did the same on Friday against the primetime players.
And I didn't see that match, admittedly. I didn't see SmackDown this week. But
you were bedridden.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I wasn't feeling sick till yesterday, but yeah. Man,
no, I
really got to get your mom tested before she comes over.
Yeah, I know. I get tested before I come over your mom. So, but the Usos, to me, you're right, are a standout team. But when I also look at, I look at the Usos against the primetime or the primetime players against Primo and Epico. We've got a feud there.
Yeah, we got a feud.
Right? Because the feud must continue because they did the walkout, so that's not over yet. We've got David Otunga and Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
That's a feud.
That's a feud.
Okay, we got the seeds planted for Damian Sandow and Zack Ryder on SmackDown as well in a backstage segment with Foley.
Yeah.
That, again, that's a feud. So, again, thumbs up, positives. We're talking positives to mid-card feuds. Purposes for people existing.
Yeah.
Which, you know... Are they going to make $1 million? Well, the primetime players are, but
millions,
you know,
and millions.
Probably not. Millions of dollars. But yeah, but I mean, it's purposes for people being on TV.
Now,
right? So
yeah, exactly. Now, one of the things though is that they're not getting a reaction right now, and I'm afraid that because they're not getting an reaction, they came out, AW introduced them. that they will go away from this too quickly. But if you look back, if you'll remember, when the New Age Outlaws first came together as a team, I don't think they got a reaction for the first 2 or 3 months. Like,
no, not until the dumpster with Foley and Cactus when they
came out.
Exactly.
Stage. They came out that night though of WrestleMania to almost no reaction. You know, it took a while because they presented as jobbers and they weren't seen as good. And it took a long time, but they stuck with it. And eventually they became big, big stars, really got over, got a huge crowd reaction. And so that's what you need to do with the Usos. That's what you need to do with the primetime players. But this is where they don't have I'm worried they don't have the patience for this anymore.
Well, the primetime players, you talk about the Outlaws. And
they remind me of them.
Well, you know what, Ed, but an AW on SmackDown had a Road Dog type rap type thing to lead them to the ring when he come out. He's like, "My name is AW, and I'm the owner promoter of All World." And but then I forget what he was. He had a little bit of a rap though, you know, that ended with the prime time players, and then they come out, right? So. But it reminded me of the Road Dogg. And a Road Dogg, as an agent, may have a hand in it as well, right? So, again, like you said, it's summertime. It's a time, normally speaking, where these people debut and build and they figure out what they're going to do, right? To the fall is when they start to actually push and build. So, they've got some guys, you know, that are worth investing in. And again, with mid-card feuds and things like that, they can do it. So, and it looks like I said, they've got at least three.
That's true.
So
that's true.
You know,
and they're, like I say, they've got a few and yeah, I mean, I don't know if Kid and Great Gabriel, but they've got at least three teams there. That's really, I mean, that's what they had, excuse me. I mean, in many ways, that was all it took to boost the division in the Attitude Era was three teams, right, who got hot.
That's right.
So, I mean...
Well, yeah.
I mean, you want more, but you start there.
Well, yeah, but I think... and you talk about Kid and Gabriel. Gabriel was replacing R-Truth on the defending the tag titles with Kofi on the house shows.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, so he come out and did that. But,
I mean, I can see a few positives about what they're doing. I mean, as much as you say, okay, I wasn't really hating No Way Out until the main event. I just thought the main event was so slow and blotting. It was terrible. Raw wasn't a good show. I mean, but it wasn't, I didn't, you know, like I say, it was pretty bland to me, but I didn't hate it. So, I mean, but I could actually see some positives in some of the things WWE is doing. Like I said, I think that a little bit of the seeds with the tag team division, keeping the belts on people a little bit longer. There's a few things there that are positive. Now, the overall booking and structure of the show, that's not fresh. But as far as some of the things they're doing right, there's a few things. There are a few things.
Well, anytime you can mention Captain Lou Albano on a show, I won't completely kick it in the teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Especially considering the great reaction he got. I mean, Mick Foley coming out, that was strange. Especially how he comes out in a suit. That was the first thing I've noticed. I'm like, what the hell is Foley in a suit? And I couldn't get over it. What's strange is he comes out, usually the general managers are all over the show, up and down and backstage segments, and he wasn't. Now, how much was he on SmackDown?
He was a couple of backstage on SmackDown, but not too many, two or three. Enough to, again, they announced that Vicky is going to be this week, so tonight, and SmackDown will be run by Vicky Guerrero. Because did you hear the story about this change?
No, what about it?
Oh, it's time. It's time. It's Vader time.
Mm-hmm.
The whole plan was that up until July 23rd was to have past main eventers from Raw's past be on the show.
Yeah.
And then Vader come out and got the second biggest pop behind John Cena, and they went, oh, shit, we can't do that anymore. So now they're going to have past GMs.
Because it makes our current stars not look like such big stars?
Yeah.
Well, two things I can say about that. Number one, they aren't such big stars.
No.
Number two, if it makes the crowd happy, if it makes the audience happy, makes them want to watch, you do it, dumbasses.
It can't be that bad.
It can't be that bad.
If it makes them happy.
If it makes them happy.
Can't be that bad. Well, but...
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Really?
You want to move your camera a little farther away from you there? Your face is really close. Look how far away from the camera I am. Look how good on the camera I look. Like, you're right up... Like, I'm right up your nostrils, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look at how fantastic I look in my picture.
I was just looking. The camera adds 10 pounds, so how many webcams are on you?
Fuck you.
Oh. Wow. This is as far as it goes without me just going way back here.
You can roll yourself right out of the room there.
No one's going to see this, so you'll look just tremendous. What do we got here? So is that all for Raw? Is there anything Raw? I mean, Raw, Jericho is no longer suspended.
Jericho's no longer suspended, yeah.
So for tonight, he is eligible to be in. Big Show.
One of the things about Jericho is he looked like a baby face in that video. That's the Jericho we need. The Jericho that
the Rock concert.
Yeah,
right.
That's the Jericho we need right now. The mm-hmm. other Jericho is not fresh. It is stale again. The Jericho yeah. coming out in a plaid shirt, smiling and singing rock stars and being charismatic and funny and being a babyface, that's the guy we need. And that's the guy he needs yeah. to be for a long time because that's the guy he's never really been.
That's right. He has never been a prolonged babyface at the top level.
No, he hasn't. Right? No, he hasn't.
So
that's what we need out of him. So he comes back and just does that. Just drop everything else in the past. Just ignore it and move on.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do. So, I mean, it's how I said he did. He didn't really come back as so much of this. I mean, he wasn't a dastardly heel that people hated. It's not like he was coming off his last run, right?
No, exactly. So
we know he'll be on. We know Vicky's going to be in charge for the evening. Do we know any of the matches for this evening at all?
I don't. I'm sure they're out there. I mean, since we can actually preview Raw, which we never really do. Here's my preview for Raw. It'll suck. No, I talked about some of the positives. Here was the negative last week. You have a Money in the Bank pay-per-view, what, 4 weeks away?
Did
they build to any matches? Did they announce anything? Did they build any concepts? Did they do anything on Raw? I don't know about SmackDown, really, like I say, but did they do anything on Raw at all? No. No, everything was just cleaning up the night before on pay-per-view, which is shitty booking once again.
Yes.
And even then, it's generally not really cleaning up the night before on pay-per-view as rehashing it.
That's right. And on SmackDown, they did announce that the Big Show is in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
There's only one?
Well, no one else can fit. But thus far, that's everybody that they have... that they've announced. John Cena, of course, has teased a historic announcement.
Well, one of the things about Big Show, they said, you thought that he...
I have an announcement that will make history. Make sure to watch Raw, Fort Wayne.
What?
So apparently Raw is in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And John Cena has tweeted that he has an announcement that will make history.
Any idea what it might be?
I presume that he'll be in Money in the Bank because he didn't have a match slated for that was the big thing is that he's not booked on the card right now.
Well, nobody's booked on the card right now. But here's the thing:
Big Show is. Okay. Well, they have the card. No one's been announced.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing about the card. I don't know. Like, they said the Big Show didn't need to take on John Cena, so they made it seem like that feud isn't going to continue. But if they put them both in Money in the Bank, there could be a way to have them in the match and have neither of them win and give it to somebody else.
I don't know how many people
are going to be in the Money in the Bank. I don't know if you have that, you can have that as the main event and a bunch of mid-card matches, especially if you have all the star power in the match of Cena and Show, put in a few guys, and put in a Kane, put in a Daniel Bryan, and actually have a pay-per-view where the tag titles gets defended, the U.S., the Intercontinental, the Divas, but both of the world titles don't get defended. And build up the pay-per-view as the Money in the Bank as a made of, as a major thing, as a right next to, as the second biggest thing that they're doing, gimmick they're doing behind Royal Rumble. Because theoretically, it should be your fourth or fifth biggest pay-per-view. You know, just because the stipulation is so huge, right?
Yes. Well, I think that, I mean, I could see that. The only other thing I could see was it, I mean, and I don't mind if you have Sheamus and Del Rio, and I don't mind if you have Kane and Punk, because I don't want Kane to be in the ladder match, and Del Rio won it last year, so okay, well, you can take him out of it, right? So if you're looking at title matches, I mean, the table is kind of set to have two right there that wouldn't bother me to have, right?
I suppose.
So, and again, but you know, then you put in more star power in your ladder match, and you've got two title matches, two ladder matches. You know, if you want to do the unification, or you want to even just have an Intercontinental title match, you want to have a Divas title match, and you want to have a tag, you know, either a tag title match or just a couple of tag matches.
Well, one of the things that they said was Night of the Champions is the only night in the WWE this year where every single belt will be defended.
Oh, yeah, okay, so you don't have the U.S. title defended on this Money in the Bank.
No. Is that another feud that's going to continue, though? I guess it is, isn't it? The Santino versus Ricardo, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Ricardo.
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess so. I've who cares? It's awful. Fucking stuff. Seriously, you just need to give, like, really right now, you just need to, you really need to have, say, a Damian Sandow beat Santino rather quickly and get that belt.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think you need to get on a guy who's perceived as a legitimate guy, because it's, again, it's strange how going into, he had some momentum coming out of this last year in the Elimination Chamber, but mm-hmm. he's been really put back, even though he's gotten the belt, he's really been put back into lower mid-card comedy status.
And it's not a necessarily a huge, you know, massively bad thing, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is. And then that belt, you know, obviously shouldn't be a comedy belt.
No. No belt should be a comedy belt, except for the hardcore belt. That was fantastic as a comedy belt.
Well, because it, but that, of course, lost its...
It lost its prestige pretty quickly, too.
Yeah, that the novelty on that really did warm wear out there. So, anyway, let's... That's Raw tonight, I guess. You know, they're teasing Paul Heyman's going to be there, John Cena to be there. No matches that I could see or have seen.
Well, that's another thing I want to get into a little bit here. We talk about no matches announced. I predict we'll see mm-hmm. Sheamus versus Ziggler.
Yes. Well, yeah, and I would guess you would see CM Punk versus Ziggler because Vicky is the general manager.
Ah, good point. And we'll see. Yeah. No, we won't see Jack Swagger anymore. Well, I mean, they did split that up. I don't know if it means Swagger's turning face. I mean, I suspect that this is so that Vicky can turn on Ziggler tonight. Probably when she's doing that Swagger, or the maybe they're doing the Ziggler Punk thing, and she turns on him and sides with Swagger. I kind of suspect something like that, and Ziggler gets babyface turn tonight. Or I kind of see that being the angle of her having her two clients face each other. And Ziggler winning, and she's saying she's just going with the one, which is what happened last week. And, of course, there was a little bit of something that they had in the past that they're kind of bringing up again, and that there's a physical relationship going on here a little bit that seemed to be alluded to as well. But, yeah, I kind of suspect we're going to see – that's what I suspect we're going to see out of all this is Vicky screws him and it sides with Swagger in the end.
Yeah, I guess.
Ziggler as a baby face, which I think everybody wants. But one of the things that's really bugging me about WWE right now is we complained for a long time God damn it. We were like, every single mate pay-per-view, every single match, every single Raw, I'm so sick and tired of seeing Cena versus Triple H versus Orton. Well, they've already managed to, so we were happy when we had new people at the top of the card. Punk, yeah. Sheamus, and everything. And I'm already starting to get this feeling with these guys. I'm getting that feeling of, God, I don't want to watch another Punk match. I don't want to watch another Sheamus match. I don't want to watch Ziggler again. Because, again, we're seeing the same matches over and over and over for months and weeks on end on TV, on pay-per-view, on everything. It's not as bad as it was with that Cena, Triple H, Orton triangle, which just seemed like it lasted for years and was constant. That most of them, two out of the three, were in a main event every single show. But yeah, I mean, I think they're already starting to burn this out. They just, I don't know if they don't have the depth, or it's too much TV, or it's booking, or a little bit of all three.
It's a little bit of all three, I think, but the most it is booking, because you know, that you can spread shit out over TV, right? So I mean, it's booking, but it's not as bad. But I was thinking that earlier today, is that, yeah, the bloom is definitely off the Punk Rose from a year ago. I mean, a year ago, we were going into Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, you know, do I have your attention now? I mean, that was only 12 months ago, you know, and 'cause it was the week, it was actually, I think, exactly a week. Because it was heading into it was the week before the July 4th Raw.
Yeah.
So this Raw tonight is literally 1 year ago.
Yeah.
That promo got cut. And look, I mean, okay, CM Punk has is a star. And CM Punk
is a bigger star than
he
was a year ago.
Yeah. Well, he's a star. I wouldn't have considered him a star before. He's a star now.
Yeah.
And a little bit to that Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Because he won the Money in the Bank, and that was sort of his...
And he's got the yes chance. I mean, certainly, again, you won't go back to No Way Out. The two people the crowd was the most into, and that includes Cena, was probably Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Right. Well, and then there was Ziggler. I mean, you had some guys. Ziggler reminds me... at this point in that precipice of his career, similar to Shawn Michaels' WrestleMania 11, where, you know, they knew going into WrestleMania 11 that Shawn was going to get cheered, because Shawn had been getting cheered, around the loop prior to this, right? From, before winning the Rumble and that whole build up. Shawn had been so. They knew that that was happening. And that's what's happening to Ziggler now. So, I mean, the best thing for Ziggler to do is win the Money in the Bank, right?
And then have Vicky screw him? That would actually get some momentum behind him as a babyface, I think.
It could.
Holy crap, he was going to win the title and this woman screwed him. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your mom's not available. So.
Oh, I was going to... I thought this was the Randy Savage story.
Yeah. But you know what? It works, though. Like, it would work. I think it would get him some baby-safe sympathy. Baby faces need sympathy. Baby face doesn't work unless he has sympathy. But, you know, I mean, he can't be pathetic, but he has to be sympathetic. There is a fine line there.
I don't know that he has to be sympathetic. He has to be relatable, right? He just has to be relatable. Like, I didn't feel any sympathy for Steve Austin.
Oh, when Steve Austin was in a match where... Vince McMahon was going to be the referee, and you felt like he was going to get screwed. I think there's people who were like felt sympathy for him in that situation. I think that's part of what made it work.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess you can use, if you're using sympathy in that context, I guess that could work. You know, I just saw the King of the Ring 1999, where the mysterious man lifted the briefcase away from Steve Austin in the ladder match. You know,
but you were watching old wrestling.
I know, it's strange. It's strange. This was from the 90s, though.
Wow, that is. All right, well, let's see. Is there anything else you want to talk about then on WWE? Or are we going to move on to TNA?
Well, I mean, the only other thing that I mentioned on WWE is that because now on The Score, on Thursday night, same actually going head to head with Impact, and I'm glad I've got my PVR set for this one, is the debut of season 6 of NXT from Full Sail University. The first show aired this past Thursday, and I was fortunate enough to check it out, and it was a good show. I think it was the best show that I saw all week, from top to
you
bottom.
You told me it was like a wrestling challenge type show. Was it squash matches?
Yes.
And
it was superstars. It was wrestling challenge. It was exactly what I want my wrestling to be, and that's building characters and giving me an idea of how to care about them, what their moves are, what they say, what they do. You've got Jim Ross and William Regal calling the action. Regal started off, and Jim Ross hadn't come out yet, and it was just Regal, and he didn't even announce Regal, but Regal was very, he was almost just talking like this. And now here comes Jim Ross. Welcome to NXT. We're at Full Sail University, and it looks like Jim Ross is going to be coming out here, because that's his music there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's Jim. Let's hear what what Mr. Ross has to say. No, but it was almost like that. I'm thinking, like, what the fuck? And then, you know, but he got good. Regal was that, you know, Jim Ross, of course, doing your commentary, your play-by-play, giving all the insight into the moves and the matches. Regal just pumping in why that move hurts.
You know what?
What that move is called.
This, I mean, he was doing commentary at FCW for quite a while. And he had a mini feud, or a little, I don't know if you'd even call it a feud, but mini feud. Let's call it a feud with Dean Ambrose. And commentary and matches and some back and forth promos. And that shit, if some people haven't seen Dean Ambrose and they don't know why everybody says he's ready, it was his interaction with Regal, I think, that really solidified it for WWE. This guy's ready to work with a guy who's at the WWE level. And this was really, really good shit, so you should definitely find it on YouTube. I was just watching it yesterday. I thought it was really, really strong.
Some of that, well, you can just watch and wait and see with Regal and Dean Ambrose. Like, this time next year, when Dean Ambrose is winning the X Division title in TNA, you're going to know exactly why. Because the interaction that he had here with Regal over the summer or last summer or whatever it was, I guess.
It was more recent even than that.
So. Yeah. Just tremendous. It's going to be a shame when he's wishbone.
I mean, he debuted in FCW in August of 2011. It's not like he's been there that long. So.
No, it'll be a shame.
You don't think he's coming up? You don't think they're going to make something out of him? You think they're going to release him?
I think so. I don't see them having any plans with him right now. And that thing with Foley clearly has been dropped.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with him? You're just going to bring him up like everybody else, and it's just it won't. That'd be the whole point of the Foley thing is to shoot him.
Yeah, but the point is there. He's 26 years old. Okay. He's only been there since, I think, like, say, last August. He worked the independents for a few years. He's not old. They might still want him to polish a couple things up. They might not want to blow it with him. I think there's a really good chance he's still going to be there, and they're going to do something with him. I mean, he's 6'4". He's 240 pounds. He's not muscled through the roof, but he's got a WWE look and size. I mean, I don't think they're letting him go anytime soon.
Is he managed by your mom?
Why?
Oh, you just said polish and blow, so I just assumed.
Oh, polish and blow. Well, both of those things are more associated with 80s wrestlers, aren't they? Or are we back to Goldust?
We're back to Goldust and Cyndi Lauper. But I think that – I don't think Ambrose is that big, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah,
okay.
He is.
Okay, I thought he was a tiny guy for some
reason.
No,
he's not. No, he's not. He was the guy. He was the guy when he was in Dragon Gate as Jon Moxley that stood out because everybody in Dragon Gate was so tiny, and he was the giant.
Okay.
So, yeah. Right.
No, so he's 5'8".
He's taller than that. I mean, he might not be a 6'4", but he's definitely a big dude.
Okay. Well, no, that's good then. Okay. Well, then maybe they will. Is it the whole point of him?
Talk about X Division. He's not an X Division guy in many ways.
Okay. But no, I said for some reason I thought he was. I don't think I've ever seen him have a match.
Because he came from Dragon Gate, so you assume he's small.
I think so. Yeah. That might have been what it was. And the only other wrestler that I've ever seen, I've only seen him do promos in the ring on FCW, and the only person that I saw him standing against was Tyler Black there, Seth Rollins, who's
also tall.
Yeah, he's like a 6'2". Tall guy, so.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah.
And Ambrose also leans over like a rat, right? Like a mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's got that crouch gimmick too, so that that's
exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, getting to NXT, I mean, it opens with everybody's favorite alcoholic, Bo Dallas, coming down, and he got a big, long vignette promo.
Did it mention that he was Bo Rotunda?
Yeah, well, he mentioned he was Bo Dallas, and that his father was Mike Rotunda, and or...
Because you wouldn't want to keep the name that might get you over. Could have been worse. He could have been Bo McGillicuddy.
No, but isn't that his real name, though?
What? Bo Dallas?
No. Bo? Is the Bo not his name? No?
I don't know.
What's his name? I just thought that in terms of them owning the name, I would thought that they would want to own. And if it's his real name, then they couldn't. I don't know what his actual first name is. I don't think it might be Bo, because I thought it was they were Bo and Luke was what they were being teamed up as in.
I don't know. It's a good thing one of us is by a computer and we can look this shit up.
Well, there's a good thing that one of us gives a shit. It's reality, though, is that his whole thing was that he was a babyface. He smiled. He mentioned the lineage. He mentioned the,
he's
you know,
born
Kendall.
Taylor Michael Rotunda.
There you go. See? So it is his real name. But they mentioned Kendall and Barry Windham.
Man, he's had
some
great nicknames. Tank Mulligan is my favorite of his former ring names. As a
excellent.
Matter of fact.
Especially given the fact that he's, like, skinnier than I am.
Well, nobody's skinnier than you are.
That's true, but I'm cut. the difference, though, his whole gimmick was that he smiled. Congratulations. You're about
the
to
hell is that?
Watching. I don't know. You watched it in porn?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I hope that came out of the recording. I don't know. I hit Wikipedia, and I got a pop-up, which is fantastic
really?
On Wikipedia. We'll leave that in, and hopefully it'll blow people's ears out.
Well, no, it was really light on my
ears. Okay.
So.
Well, hopefully it blew my ears out. But anyways, I'm used to having something else blown out.
That's true.
Now it itches.
All right, yeah. That's why you're on Skype. But, I think that so Bo Dallas come in. He got his whole thing is that he smiles or whatever, and he come out. He got the win. He won a squash match.
Wrestlers who smile always get over.
Yes, I know. It was a very Rocky Maya Villa type thing, and then some
guy. We saw
guy
him here in
like,
Calgary in the dark match. I thought he seemed to have charisma, but he didn't look to me like he was ready in the ring from his timing and things like that. It looked a little sloppy to me. I don't know. What did you think of it when we saw him?
No, about the same. I mean, but he's improved since then, at least in this match. I mean, it was, again, I've seen him have two matches now.
That was last August.
But about a year apart, exactly. And, the one is better than the other. This match was better than that one. Again, just a short squash match, though, again, just to basically, again, get over some of his moves. Of course, I don't really remember what they were, but just getting that over. And I didn't think it was bad anyway. And the big thing was that it was all about a vignette, right? So that was just that was it. So I do remember that. Bo Dallas's opponent, Rick Victor, was the he got the jobber entrance, right? So they don't the only the star got the entrance.
Yeah,
the guy was just already in the ring kind of thing, and Rick Victor, according to Regal, the last graduate of the Hart family dungeon.
Okay.
So he graduated after Jericho and Tyson Kidd.
Okay.
Yes. So, just trying to think. Yeah, I think it was a spear that Bo Dallas won with. But anyway, oh, and his catchphrase was shit. If we keep watching, we will all know Bo.
That was his catchphrase?
That was his catchphrase.
I found the fact that Victor Dallas, or whatever his name was, what was it?
Rick Victor.
Rick Victor. I found the fact that he was the last graduate of the dungeon more interesting than that particular catchphrase. That is the worst catchphrase ever.
Yeah.
You all know Bo. Well, I guess it's because Bo knows, right? It's a playoff in the Bo.
That was
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson.
What was that, 25 years ago that was popular?
Early 90s, I guess, yeah. So 22, something like that. So, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Way to be.
But then we next week they announced that Seth Rollins is
Bo Rotunda, 22 years old.
There you go.
So he's never seen the commercial that's taken off of.
He was probably born the day that commercial came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Damian Sandow was supposed to fight, but he didn't, so he just left. Come out and he cut one of his Damian Sandow promos and just left. So anyway,
I like Sandow. I'm enjoying his act, and I think he's got potential.
Yeah. The next one is the Ascension. Is a tag team. A tag team. Is Connor O'Brien and, God, I forget the other guy's name. Anyway, Ken Cameron? Anyway, they did this video package with their standing up on top of, like, a building a la Gotham City and talking about how their time is coming and da-da-da-da-da. Basically, what they do is they look like those villains in the Superman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
General Zod and yeah.
Anyway, they look like those guys. But they fought Mike Dalton and CJ Parker.
Do you think we're going to see Rich Victor as one of the three that takes on Ryback?
It's possible. It's possible. Same with CJ Parker.
Yes, exactly. Perhaps. Though they said he was going to go after three now. He said feed me three, but he took on two on SmackDown again, didn't he?
He did, yeah, but Booker T put on, like, I think I was the only one that heard him say, feed me three.
Oh, did he?
yeah.
Nice.
Yes, which is tremendous, but anyway, so the Ascension looked really good. They kept doing these elbow drops, like, one after another, like, one guy had hit the elbow, then the other guy had hit it, then the other guy, then the other guy. They did that, like, five or six times each kind of thing, so that was kind of cool. Yeah, I don't think the other guy ever got into the match. I think it was all just CJ Parker, and that made David Hasselhoff mad.
Hoff.
But again, we're looking at another 2-minute match. Like, both of these have been like 2-minute matches,
yeah.
Right? So these are squishes here. So, then one of my favorite things, I actually skipped past it on my PVR because I thought it was a commercial, and then I had to go back. But my name is Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yes.
And anyway, he was standing out in the bayou there, just in kind of the middle on some rocks in the middle of a water or whatever, and just talking about how the boogeyman is real, kids. You should be looking under your bed at night for those monsters, and Bray Wyatt's coming, right?
Yeah.
So that was good. So I did enjoy that. The next part I didn't like, and it was the only part that I didn't like about this show was the main event of next week, apparently, is Johnny Curtis against Derek Bateman. So they're in the back, and Derek Bateman, like, walks into the bathroom, And Johnny Curtis is, like, in the bathroom, like, hanging out, acting cool or something. I don't quite know. And he was wearing...
Smoking in the boys' room?
Yeah, I don't... But, he, of course, he wasn't smoking because this is Raw. But he had the leather... He did have that 50s... He did have Deuce and Domino's leather jacket on and jeans. I don't... It was just dumb.
Johnny Curtis has been there a long time, hasn't he?
Well, he was... Whatever. What did he win? Season 4 of NXT?
Yeah. Before that, he was in developmental for a while, right? We know season 5 lasted 17 years.
That's right. So he's been in the company for 22 years. No, it's just as soon as you know,
so he knows about what Bo knows.
See, he got the company when Bo knows. his first gimmick was a 2-sport star. That's got to work. A 2-sport star, a wrestler, and like a NASCAR driver or something. But
excellent.
So then we got about a 16-minute main event, which was Tyson Kidd against Michael McGillicuddy.
Well, that's good. I mean, right? I mean, those guys know each other very well, you know.
Yeah. And it was, I guess, you know, your main roster guys basically having the main event, yeah. Right? You got some squishes underneath, and then the main guy.
That's fine for a re-debut. I mean, eventually you'd want the other guys from Nexus or from NXT or whatever it is to show up. But, yeah, that's fine.
Well, they will eventually, I think, kind of roll over. I mean, there was a package for Antonio Cesaro somewhere in here as well. You know, that they said, I don't know if he's coming next week too, or if it's just that they hyped him or whatever. Tyson Kidd has a submission finisher.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Dungeon Lock.
I like that.
Anyway, I didn't know
what
that
is the finisher,
he did though? I don't know. It's some submission thing.
Like
I don't know.
Cross-face
it's like
thing
a,
or.
No, it's like a guillotine choke type thing.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, it was good. It was like I don't even know what you could call it, but it was good anyway. It was different too. It wasn't your normal, yeah, like you said, crossface Boston Crab variation or anything like that, right? So it was like he was facing him and pulling his head down while like. Kicking his arm or, you know, had his legs wrapped around him or whatever, too. So, no, it was good. It was good. I like that. He hit a sweet moonsault as well right before that, too. So, that was good.
So what you're saying
good.
Is this just in, Tyson Kidd is good.
Yes, it turns out. Who knew?
So, let me ask you then, knowing that Tyson Kidd is good, does that mean I'm allowed to finally put it so we talk wrestling follows him on Twitter? Are you gonna unfriend that again?
I'll unfriend that again, yeah. Because did it say We Talk Wrestling or was it We Mark Wrestling? I don't remember which one it is. I always get it confused when I'm typing it in. Sometimes I do the one, and other times it slips my mind, and I kind of stare at it for a minute. So I always tend to forget. But yeah, he's unfriended.
You're a prick. How much does it hurt?
Yeah.
Support the other Calgary guy.
Who?
Ah, fuck it. So speaking of which, yeah, we follow Lance Storm.
Do we?
Yeah.
I think I unfriended him.
Excellent. All right. We going to go on to TNA now? Are you done with your NXT?
Oh, yeah. It's a great show, though. Best show I saw all week.
Yeah. TNA this week, Impact Wrestling, had some hits and misses, that's for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't the I don't want to have this sound too negative, but, I mean, the reality is that it was the worst show of their summer series thus far. Now, that said, you know, it was better than what it was before, better than Raw. It just, you know... To be fair, it was their worst summer series show yet.
Yeah, there was some good stuff. There was some bad stuff. I think the biggest misstep, everybody seems to be talking about the end, the close. But to me, the biggest misstep is that you have these guys, the guys who beat up Sting, They refused to mention it. They refused to show Hogan mentioned it in passing. They wouldn't show the video. They didn't follow it up. Right. Those guys weren't on TV again. I think if you have something that you're hoping to build momentum and it has people's interest and they want to see something for it, I think the worst thing you can do is just completely ignore it. Now, there's probably a reason they want to do that, and maybe it'll build to something else. But I think that's a poor choice. I think at least you show the video.
So far, I think it's a poor choice. I mean, again, I'll wait till this Thursday. If they miss it again this Thursday, then definitely. If the guys come out somehow and hijack something and say, Hogan, you didn't want to show us last week, so we're taking matters into our own hands, right? Then, okay, I could see it. So,
yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, still no idea who they are. I mean, haven't heard anything. I mean, looking at them, I presumed it was some form of, you know, Chris Masters, Luke Gallows kind of thing, but I don't know who. And you had said MVP, you thought.
MVP, I thought it's a possibility. I mean, I still think Gunnar and Crimson definitely are two of the possibilities within the roster it could be. So.
Yeah. So, Al Perez, you know, so.
Well, that explains how he got over the border. Wore a mask.
Hmm? Who?
Al Perez.
No, he's Al Perez? No, he's from Texas.
I thought he was Canadian.
He was the Black Scorpion.
I thought he was Canadian.
Al Perez?
Yeah.
No.
I thought he was Canadian.
Really? Why?
I don't know. He's trying to cross a border. His name was Perez.
From Montreal.
Doesn't everybody name Perez trying to cross a border? Don't they sound Canadian to you?
From Montreal.
Yeah.
Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
No, but who knows? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I do think that's a mistake. I think there's ways to push it, but even not to show them, but I think you need to at least have made a bigger deal out of it. So I think they made a mistake doing that.
Yeah. I think so. And then Austin Aries come out with option C, which is every year the X Division champion will get to choose what's inside the box or keeping the X Division title. They get to choose whether they challenge for the world title at Destination X every year, whoever the X Division champion is. That said, they didn't take the belt from Aries.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, he said he would do it, and I'll do it if it's option C, and Hogan's like, you got a deal, brother. And but then I was expecting Hogan to say, okay, well, give me the belt.
Yeah, that's true. I imagine that happens next week, and then you got to set up something for who's competing for the belt. And they may not have decided that yet.
Yeah, I would assume, and I would. I don't know, what do you do, like Ultimate X qualifying?
I don't know. I mean, you got guys who could be in the X Division in the Bound for Glory series tournament, right? So I would
do you?
Daniels,
AJ
Bobby
Daniels
Lee,
and
you know, I'm sure there's somebody else that we're missing. Maybe not. I don't know. The point is though, I mean, I really don't know how many X Division guys they have eligible for this. And Chris Sabin's hurt. Austin Aries is giving it up. You got those three in the Bound for Glory series, right? So, I mean, how many guys are actually eligible for this match? I don't know if you have enough to do qualifying and this. Like, I don't know. I'm not expecting X Division. I think the point of Destination X this year is that the X Division title – I can cash it in, and obviously, which obviously Aries is doing, and there's going to be a new X Division title winner crowned. I don't think it's going to be an all X Division show, though. I don't have that sense this time.
No, I don't either, but and that's fine. I mean, it just but I think you should crown a new X Division champion on the show.
You should. You absolutely should. So how do you get there is the point. And who's it going to be?
Well, what I would do again is when you're saying there's not too many people that could necessarily qualify, again, that's what then are there, if there's eight, right, then you could have qualifying matches and have four people in an Ultimate X with the title held high, and then Frankie Kazarian wins.
But the problem with this is I think this would have been fine if they hadn't just had Austin Aries win a Ultimate X match. Like, I think that's, again, a misstep. If you're going to have the Ultimate X match, I don't think you have it for free on TV 3 weeks with different guys with no build, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before you do it on pay-per-view, because you want to make it special. You want to make people think they need to pay for it.
So then you have four people. So
maybe you
eligible.
Have the Asylum or Escape the Cage match or something, right?
Yeah, there you go. Is Homicide around? maybe you have a blindfold cage match.
Yeah, Russo's gone.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just there's Elevation X.
There is Elevation X.
You know,
I think you're...
Or you just have a match. Who do you have win it, though? To me, it's Frankie
Kazarian. Kazarian is
the
smart guy to win it. But, I mean, it depends on... Kazarian is still tied up in the tag team thing, right? Because I fully expect Kazarian and Daniels to get a rematch for the belts against Angle and AJ. So, and
that's true.
So I mean, I don't look at Kazarian, no. So I mean, I could have a guy like Douglas Williams who returns, right? Probably some other guys who are wrestling on their house shows.
You got Zema Ion.
Is Zema Ion,
right?
There probably has some other guys who are wrestling on their house shows.
Kid Cash,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I don't see any of them as champions. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see... Like, it's pretty thin on top, this. I mean, as soon as you pull Kazarian, I agree with you, onto the tag, and you pull Aries over to that, who the fuck is left to actually be... the X Division champion.
Yeah, I mean, I would go with Douglas Williams. I mean, he was a good X Division champion before. They had a nice gimmick with him. They blew it. But, you know, he was the X Division champion who didn't high fly.
Oh, I thought you meant that he was afraid of heights.
Yeah, well, he was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that was a different take. I mean, you're right. A year from now, I don't want to see Zema Ion, Kid Cash, or Douglas Williams cashing in the money in the – or the, not the money in the bank, cashing in the X Division title for a World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
So.
No, that – exactly.
So you do need to put some – you need to have a plan here.
Yeah. So,
And when we talk about Aries giving it up, how quickly after he fails to win does he get another shot at the X Division belt? I mean, he should have – it should be, the stipulation should be strong enough that he doesn't get a chance to qualify to get it back for like a year or something, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you look at it. Well, I don't know, but
at least 6 months. You got to give it some time. You can't, if he gets a shot again next month, then who the fuck cares that he gave it up? He's just going to win it right back. Like it's got to have some weight to it.
I tell you though, I'm taking Austin Aries, and he's not going to win it next month because I do a rematch against Bobby Roode next month, as I said, and then the finals of the Bound for Glory tournament are your main event of your September pay-per-view, and then you've got Bound for Glory right there, and that takes care of
I have him in some sort of tag match next month, but I don't have a rematch.
Yeah,
I think maybe, I don't know, but I don't have him getting two shots in a row because I just think the whole point of – I think, again, that lessens the whole point of you giving up your title for that one chance.
Jeff Hardy could be the X Division champion.
Actually, Jeff Hardy I think that'd be a smart move. I think that'd be a fine move, actually. Yeah. But he's in the Bound for Glory tournament again too, right? So, I mean
– No, but if he's for next year, I mean.
Yeah, no, right, I have no problem with that. I think that'd be fine. You know, so. And I kind of think that they ought to do something similar with that TV championship to give it some weight, too.
The thing is with the TV championship is defended every show, right? Every Impact,
but you have
right?
to make it, again, seem important. Does being on every single week help? Sure. But still, I think what is the point of him being on, other than the fact he gets on TV every week, what is the advantage of being that championship? You know?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, that's...
I think something. He can cash it in for something. I don't know if it's... I don't know. Just something.
Yeah. Ham and cheese sandwich. Catering.
Let's get to Austin Aries a little bit more. He was great again. Yeah. I'm looking at this guy, And I'm looking at this guy who was cut by Tough Enough before this, you know,
yes,
before even being on the show. Like, he was, WWE didn't think he had anything. And when I heard that, and I think you were one who reminded me of it, you're like, you sent me a text, like, I forgot he had been cut tough enough. And I started thinking, he's Stone Cold Steve Austin, isn't he? Not Stone Cold Steve Austin, but in the character-wise, but in the you're never going to get over with that black boots and black trunks, we're releasing you. Eric Bischoff releases him, and he goes on to ECW and ends up over in WWE and sets records. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do that, but it is that same idea, I think, that he has the chance to be somebody that TNA can gain a little momentum on and hang their hat around, who WWE passed on or thought that he didn't have anything. And I think there's some parallels there to him or even just to the vanilla midgets who were let go by WCW and went over to WWF. What do you think?
No, it is true that, you know, that he is someone that WWE didn't want. And so when you're looking at it, you can be, you know, in that kind of, the difference, I guess, with Austin and Austin Aries, is that, Steve Austin got the call from Heyman and went to ECW basically right away. I mean, I don't know, injury healed up or whatever it was, and basically right away, where Austin Aries, almost quit the business and then decided to kind of take that one last run. Now, was he not one that was here for Destination X last year?
That's where he got his contract, yeah.
That's where he got the...
He's the guy who won the contract to qualify in, yeah.
With Zima... Was he,
Zima Ion, I believe, was one of them. Jack Evans, Loki. One other guy, I can't remember who I
like Jesse Sorensen or something like that. So, it's good for him. It is that good story that they can throw in on a Blu-ray or something that if they ever do, you know, if he ever gets to amount to anything.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But no, I mean, the company, I mean, they have that. They have James Storm as well, there and ready to go.
Who can be their homegrown star, right?
Well, I mean, they all can, and that's the whole point of this, and that's the nice part right now about TNA is that they don't have, outside of Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy, I guess they can count RVD a little bit in there, but, for the most part, these are homegrown guys. I mean, Bully Ray has been around, but he really, I mean, Bully Ray has been invented in TNA.
Yeah.
And Devon, I guess, is just Devon, but I mean, it's just one of those deals. But the most part, we're talking Aries and Storm and Rude, you know, and AJ and Kazarian and Daniels.
Other than Hardy, Angle, and RVD, they're generally those are the only guys who I think would be seen as viewed as something else.
Exactly, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's right? A good thing. So I think you're right.
That's definitely a great differentiation point for them. One thing that didn't differentiate themselves from Raw was a shit ending.
Yeah, I mentioned it before. People were talking about the biggest misstep was the ending, and I thought it was a failure to mention those guys, but this was awful. When it's that bad and it's the last segment, and it was not just... It's not just worse than the rest of the show. I mean, it's so bad you can't believe you're watching it. It was worse than the Cyndi Lauper segment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And
it was the worst thing on television all week.
Yeah. And it's the end of the show, even if the rest of the show is not that bad. And the show, as a general rule, I thought was just losing momentum as it went on anyways. It opened strong with Aries and Hogan and just, you know. And then you had the gut check challenge with the chicks and Brooke.
Gut
and,
check challenge.
And
oh, fuck. Brooke, forgot to talk about fucking Brooke.
All right, let's do that first then.
Okay, let's talk about...
Hey, go ahead.
Brooke Hogan. Brooke Hogan. Okay, 15-second clips. That's it. As soon as you get to 16 seconds, just cut the microphone and move on. Because she's not allowed to talk for more than 15 seconds at a time.
So you're talking about the...
If I need to fill her mouth with something, I will. But sitting in the back there... with she's got fucking Madison Rayne and ODB and all this bullshit, and she's looking at them and she's like, I think you need to get your mind in the game and not be concerned with that mystery man of yours. And for you, ODB, you know, it's the first time we've had to meet. I don't know if you're thinking too much about that husband of yours or trying to get... I'm like, who the fuck? Like, if Hulk Hogan says that to someone, anyone, okay, at very least, he's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And you can see... you can, so you
well,
can
Hulk Hogan did do. I mean, open fight night the month before.
Right.
And they had... in the back, you had AJ Styles talking about... who's going to face Rude so that he doesn't become the longest-term champion? It was the exact same segment. It was Bully Ray, Angle, AJ Styles, and Jeff Hardy with Hogan going through it and trying to figure out who it was. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievably great segment because it felt real. It felt real, and yet it wasn't. It was just so – it was great. And they were trying to recreate that. I didn't think they did that bad a job. I didn't think she was so bad. I thought there was good psychology behind the things she was saying as a general rule. I mean, yeah, okay, she's nobody, but the point is she's supposed to be somebody. She's supposed to be in charge. So you should – you have to suspend belief a little bit that she's never done anything.
Well, the thing was is just the way that her lines come out was very it was just too – like – when you, I got the feeling that when they moved to the next cue card that I could kind of tell because she would pause in mid-sentences and it was just – it was bad. Her delivery, she's not good really at anything. You know, the fact that she wakes up in the morning and gets herself dressed I think is probably a pretty good thing for her. Also, we were talking about old wrestling and – I did watch, I know shocking as this sounds, a little bit of old wrestling the other day as well, which where Brooke Hogan sang the national anthem at WrestleMania 11. So that was good. That was her first singing debut at WrestleMania 11. Most people don't know that.
Okay, so what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, no, they. I don't remember her name specifically. If she what name that she went under, because I would assume it would be a worked name because she didn't want people to know. But it was some special Olympian that sang the national anthem at WrestleMania 11. And I just, oh, Brooke Hogan.
She's not that
debut.
Stupid. I don't think she's as. I think she looks a little strange.
The special Olympian. Nope. The special Olympian was not that stupid. You're right.
No, Brooke is not. Brooke is not that stupid. And looks wise, I think she's exposed being next to like a Madison Rayne and a Velvet Sky and a Mickie James because she's so much less hot than them. But she's got a good singing voice. Not great, but not bad. And come on, I don't have the hate
she's
for her
useless.
That you do.
She's useless on my television, and it just – every time she – the worst part was that she was on twice. Right?
I thought she was on three
and
times.
It was just like, oh, maybe. Oh, yeah, well, she was at the end where because they also showed that music video as well, right?
I never heard of these guys. The Velvet Sky, this what is it, Malcolm Gentry or something like that, or
I don't know. I have no idea. It's country music.
Yeah, I had no idea. So I looked them up. I'm like, because I was expecting these guys to be nobodies, and then I see they've had a bunch of number one hits and they've had top 40 songs on the crossover charts and stuff, and they're actually a big band, and this is weird because I'm pretty sure Madison Rayne was feeding her kid, and I wasn't sure if that's real or not. I had no idea she had a kid.
Yeah, I know.
The kid seemed pretty old.
I don't know. I know. I was kind of – when I saw the video,
I was trying
like,
to determine whether or not I wanted to do her less because of that.
I did.
You did? You wanted to do her less because of that?
Yeah.
Me too. I went from like a 10 to a 9.8, a scale of wanting to do her. It's disappointing.
Yeah. I know. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
But, country music, wonderful. Just Malcolm McGentry or whatever the hell it's called, and that's fine. And good. If they're a big band, well, that's good. I mean, they're based out of Nashville, right? Their offices are all in Nashville. So I would presume that they would, have a little bit of a pulse, at least on that.
I'm just saying that as far as level of star, they're not that far behind what WWE gets in similar situation, is my understanding from the level of popularity. That kind of surprises me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that does. That does. But one thing that, you know, we will talk about this stupid fucking finish now. Because it, like, A, the woman sucked.
This is worse than a dusty finish.
The woman was horrible.
She's terrible. I don't know who she is, but I know that...
That's the other part, is who the fuck is she? Like, she comes on and she's like, hi, da 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 da. And it's, again, it's one of those things. It's,
let's
it's
give
like
a little context.
Out...
Basically,
why? They didn't.
The, good point. Dixie Carter and AJ Styles have been accused by Kazarian and Daniels of having an affair for months, even though they're both married. So this woman comes out and says that the reason why they've been together is not because she is there having an affair. It's because she has been undergoing substance abuse problems, and they've been together trying to help her.
Right, yes. Which, naturally...
And of course, we don't know what her relationship is to any of them. And I mean, I suspect it's going to come out that she's fucking Daniel's sister, or her or that's Daniel's wife,
I am
or something
helping.
Like that. All she said was, I've had a long-term relationship with Dixie Carter. I've known Dixie for a long time. Something like that. That's the only context we got.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, you're kind of breaking up on me here, so.
Oh, yeah, I blame you.
What?
What now?
No, I don't think the Jews are to blame.
What? You, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be too lazy to edit any of this out, so I hope this just makes for a good show.
Uh-huh. What wasn't a good show was the end of Impact. Now, here's getting back to this part, okay, is that...
What I'm saying is, I'm pretty sure, and this cut out on you, I'm pretty sure this woman, who was a terrible actress, another than saying that she knew Dixie for a long time, I'm pretty sure it's going to be revealed that she is Christopher Daniels' wife, or Christopher Daniels' sister, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wish that had cut out on me. I think that, yeah, you're right. I think is, what is she doing here? Obviously, it's like, what the fuck? And so the thing was, to me, the first thing that popped in my head when she's like, I'm a drug addict and a substance addict, and I sometimes sleep with strange guys and all this stuff. And she's going, you know, Dixie and AJ have helped me or whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, so... The first thing that you do, the first thing you don't do when you're helping a recovering substance abuse person is you wouldn't tell your fucking husband that you're doing this.
You're keeping it private. You're keeping it. You don't want anybody to know she has problems. Because apparently the husband knows her too.
Yeah, so you definitely just want to keep this from fucking Serge.
Well, actually, that you probably do. I mean, he is an idiot.
It's true. His name's Serge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, I don't know, that was the first thing that jumped into my mind, was like, what the fuck, idiots, cares? And then just the fact the woman was so bad and
terrible.
Whiny, and that we didn't know who the fuck she even was, and no one cared.
Say, I mean,
no,
I'm sure the reaction of, oh, no, she's here, or something like that from Daniels, it wasn't a reaction of, oh, no, she's ruining it. It was a reaction of, oh, no, people are finding out, and that's... Somebody I know, or somebody I'm sure there's something. But either way, it's bad. It's bad sports entertainment at this point. It's similar to me. It's like, when was I most interested in Punk versus Jericho, when they were fighting to be who the best in the world? When was I least interested, when Jericho was accusing Punk's sister of being a drug addict? Who cares? It just hurt it. And it's the same thing with this.
Maybe this is Punk's sister.
No, not hot enough.
Okay.
Punk's sister is pretty hot.
Right, because Punk's sister... That's right, she was at the show, wasn't she? Which one? Backlash.
Was it Backlash? Backlash?
Yeah.
Backlash? Yes. I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. I don't know how you recover from that as far as saving the angle. It's so bad that I think it just has go-away heat now.
It does. It does. And I don't want to talk about it anymore, other than the segue that the woman there, when she used to wake up next to strange guys, according to Ken Doan, one of those strange guys could have been John Cena.
Yeah, this is not a big surprise. But, okay, go into a little more detail on Ken Doan.
What did he call?
Tiger Woods.
John Cena was the Tiger Woods of and it, just because he played a rapper, I found that somewhat racist. But what he meant by that was that
Tiger Woods
sleep around a pair. Apparently, Ken Doan was engaged to Mickey James.
Yes, he was.
And then, I don't know, Mickey was trying to fuck Cena or did fuck Cena.
We heard about, see, here's the thing. We heard about the Wrestling Observer said that the relation, like, on screen, there was a couple weeks where Cena and Mickey James were boning, had a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, yeah. oh, we're just friends. And then Cena brings out her panties and goes, you left those in my room last night. And that was the big joke.
Yeah.
And I kind of wondered at the time, because I knew that James at the time was apparently engaged to, well, I know she was engaged to Doan. And Cena, I knew, was with his long-term girlfriend at the time from high school.
The high school sweetheart.
And then Dave Meltzer reported, oh, it was real. These two really were having a relationship. So I thought it was odd at the time. I was like, what is he right? Is there something else going on here?
Well, then Mickey got fired because she got all psycho on him, didn't you? Didn't know what happened?
Yeah, that's another word, is that she got all psycho on him. And also, but, I mean, it's, I almost wonder if that on-screen thing they're doing there was their way of saying, hey, we're going to announce this publicly. Keep your shit in check. This is getting too out there. But who knows?
Yeah.
That's the way they work sometimes. But it, I mean, I remember John Cena, who's been with his high school sweetheart since, I don't know, probably high school.
Mr. Soccer.
I guess. He's had this relationship with her. I remember him going on Howard Stern years ago when he first did, I think it was the first, was his first movie, 12 Rounds or The Marine or whatever.
The Marine, yeah.
So anyways, when he went on Howard Stern at the time, and Howard Stern asked him about all the women he gets.
Is that the guy that does America's Got Talent?
That's the guy. And he asked him about how many, you know, how does he do with the women being a wrestler and this and that. And he talked about all the women he boned. Like, John Cena was talking about all the women he was sleeping with and all the relationships and some of the wild threesomes and all this shit. So, I mean, it's been obvious to me for a long time. One of the ways to get him to make a wish is to suck his dick. And so, I've always figured this, and this is not new. I mean, look at Bret Hart and Bret Hart's book. This is not new, and it doesn't mean you're not a good guy, and it doesn't mean you can't be a good role model. And it doesn't have anything to do with your on-screen persona either.
Just a sec now. Bret Hart fucked John Cena?
No, I mean, Bret Hart in his book talking about all his infidelities with everybody but Sonny. The point being, though,
including John Cena.
Yeah, he's probably fucked Sonny. But so John Cena has the squeaky clean image, and his wife that he's going through the divorce with now has hired people to try and prove his infidelity and this and that. Look, this is not a surprise to me.
Hustle, loyalty, respect.
This is I believe that John Cena. I actually believe what Ken Doan's saying. I think he probably is the Tiger Woods of the WWE. I believe he was with Mickey. I believe he cheated on his wife. And I believe at the end of the day, it's not my business.
That's very true. No, and it, yeah, I mean, I just thought it was funny. Ken Doan. And it's always, of course, whenever it's Mr. Squeaky Clean, too,
yeah.
Right? Then it's, it makes me giggle that much more. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, you know what? He's clean in everything in his life. He has one little problem, is sleeping with women. Oh, and steroids.
Oh, right, yes. And then there's the steroids. Did you hear about the new show that WWE has?
No.
That's going to air on Wednesday nights. It's going to debut on October 3rd. On the ION network, called WWE Main Event.
Ah.
I don't know where they come up with these names.
That's a fantastic show.
Every Wednesday
show.
Night, it's going to be like Superstars.
It's going to be like Superstars. I thought it was going to be like NXT. Is it NXT? Or NXT's on Thursdays now.
Yes. But NXT,
so
apparently.
What is ION?
I don't know. It's some network in the States.
Ah. Will it be on the score up here?
Probably.
Who cares?
Although I don't know, because of the score on Wednesdays, it might cut into their harness racing.
That's true. That's basically the score is three things. They do like a headline sports type thing where they show you the scores and have a few articles. Then they do wrestling, and then the rest of it is sports that nobody rarely would ever want on their station. Harness racing and shit like that.
Soccer.
Yeah. Soccer. You know.
Yeah.
Stuff nobody would want on their station.
Bullshit.
So, anyways. All right. I've had about enough of this episode talking about shit then. Are we gone almost an hour and a half?
Yeah, we have.
Wow.
I've had enough about you, too.
Well, we're going to do another show right after this. We're going to be recording our next show. The game plan here for the next show. Next week is Canada Day here in Canada.
Yeah. Despite the fact that it was trending on Twitter today.
Yes, it's next week, July 1st, Canada Day. Of course, so it's July 4th long weekend. We have our July 1st long weekend for that reason, Canada Day. So we're not going to be able to do a show due to other activities. So what we're going to be doing here is we're going to get off right after this. And what we're going to do is we're going to
easy there.
What's that?
Said easy there, sport.
Easy about what?
You said you were gonna get off right there, and I just thought like it's not gonna be that good of a show.
It's not gonna be that good of a show, no. I need a cigarette.
In the meantime, and in between.
But anyways, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about some of our. We're just gonna pick, I think, probably four or five promos that we think are great promos, and that we love and but maybe people don't remember so much or whatever, and we're going to introduce them basically, and we're going to talk a little bit about them, and then we're going to play them on the air for everybody to hear the full thing and the entertainment of some of these great promos that we think people will love. So that'll be next week's show, just so you guys have some content and or some stuff, because Addy hates the word content. Why is it you hate that word again?
Huh? Because it's retarded.
Why is it retarded?
Drools a little bit.
So that'll be next week's We Talk Wrestling. Just something a lot of fun for everybody. And other than that, I'm Mo, M-O at We Talk Wrestling, or Mo _ We Talk. No E on my name. And if you want to podcast or blog for We Talk Podcasts in any way, just shoot me an email and we'll see if we can work something out. We got some stuff up there now, so...
Okay, so now do you want to tell everybody the correct ones?
What are you talking about?
Okay, you're Mo.
Yeah, We Talk Podcast.
M-O. Okay, you said We Talk Wrestling.
Oh, did I?
But that's all right. You did.
Okay, I'm Mo at WeTalkPodcast.com. Mo _ We Talk. All right?
Okay. Addy, A-D-D-I-E, at We Talk Wrestling.
Now do you want to give everybody the correct one? No, that's the correct one.
That is correct because I'm not... Yes, I'm a We Talk Wrestling guy, because that's all I care about, is wrestling. Me and wrestling. It's the two things I care about, Addy and wrestling, so it's perfect.
A-D-D-I-E.
Yes, I have A-D-D-I-E, but, and it's A-D-D-I-E _ WTW is the Twitter, or at We Talk Wrestling, or you could just go to WeTalkWrestling.com and get all this fabulous information right the fucking there. We are on Stitcher. As well, so if you got an iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, you want to listen to us there, you can do that. And then, of course, on iTunes, We Talk Wrestling, just search for us and do all that shit, and that would be perfect. So I think that's it. You got anything else?
Just,
that's it.
We've had some guest blogs. I put up a new blog here today as well, so keep on the lookout for those. Some good, fun stuff. My latest blog was – we got somebody who's working with us, Rich, and what is it, Freaks? Oh, I can't – his – I'm going to look it up here. I'm going to look it up. Freaks TV Channel.
Of course.
Freaks TV Channel is what he goes by. And he's working with me. We're going to redesign Raw and his redesign on Impact that he did a while back is one of the first part of the blogs that's coming up right now. And today I talked about TNA's Hall of Fame candidates and who it could be. So in a blog.
Yes, the candidates.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Perfect. Excellent.
Well,
all right then. Well, then, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Boobs. Just in case we're still recording, I'm going to say boobs.
We are. So fucking stop it.
Can we get...